Welcome aboard, you people. Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis off for another day of broadcast insolence, and here she is.
Good to be back, and I did get to catch the Cubbies on the road. You know, Kevin Powell was out there covering the game. I was out there also in the stands, and not the game I wanted to see, but not last night either, but...
Kevin,
Cubs strong.
Have you booked your return trip to Los Angeles?
No, not yet. I'm holding off on that for now.
Yeah.
Oh, wait another night or so.
Probably
yeah.
A good idea.
Yeah.
Probably
I like their chances tonight, though.
You do?
I do. Because Alex Wood's on the mound. He's 26-year-old making his first postseason career start. Hasn't pitched in 3 weeks. He was set to pitch in Game 4 last series for the Dodgers, but they swept the Diamondbacks. So, I don't know. I'm just feeling it right now for the Cubs with Alex Wood on the mound for the Dodgers, who really hasn't been all that great since the All-Star break, but overall he's had a pretty good year. I just can't see the Cubs getting swept.
And Arrieta, right?
Hunch.
We've got Arrieta tonight?
Got Arrieta on the mound tonight, which could be his final start as a Cub because he's set to be a free agent after this year. The Cubs probably aren't going to give him a 5-year deal, which is probably what he's looking for, and he's going to get a whole lot of money in the offseason.
Yeah. Well, but unless the Cubs keep going.
He had a good run here.
Cubs have some needs, though, now, right? I
mean,
isn't it interesting how you're seeing it's, you know, winning solves all problems and now losing. And it's interesting because they're at the NLCS. This is something we need to put into some form of perspective, my friends.
No question.
They are now in the National League Championship Series for the third straight year. That has not been done
in well
ever.
Over 100 years. Yeah.
Well, I mean, even because there was no NLCS,
right.
It just went straight to the World Series, right?
Yes.
So this is a very, very different, or this is, you know, not your dad's Cubs, not my dad's Cubs.
No, how exciting that we've, in October, we've been enjoying great baseball.
Right.
Well, exactly.
You know?
We're in the middle of October and the Cubs are still playing.
And it's important, and they're expected to win, right? I mean, this is, so, and I don't would call this an upset, but if it's a sweep, it's an upset.
And, yeah, I think that would surprise everyone.
Yeah, and so this is, but then again, you know, the Dodgers have not lost a game in the postseason.
Nope.
So that is, they're 6-for-6, and this is, and they're heading into, and you can see why. They have amazing pitching, and then they've got, you know, very timely hitting.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cubs did not, and the Cubs last night, I mean, they put a guy on base in every inning, except
well,
for
didn't the pitcher
three.
Get walked?
Pitcher, they walked the pitcher.
With the bases loaded?
Yes.
I couldn't believe what I was watching.
No one could, Kevin.
I was like, what?
Yeah. No one could.
What is going on here?
And then he struck out the best.
Right, on 3 pitches. That basically sums up baseball for you. You walk a pitcher on 4 pitches and then strike out the hottest hitter on the team in 3 pitches.
But they made him so nervous with all those meetings. Just let the boy work.
With all the meetings. I'm going to yell that from the
audience. You know what?
Enough with the meetings down there.
Stop the meetings.
You know, sometimes still waters run deep. And I just want to say that that is absolutely true.
Yeah.
She's right about that because every time that you had Wilson Contreras come out and, you know, does a thing where he, like, you know, covers his mouth and then all I can do when that happens, I go, boy, that glove smells funny, doesn't it?
Ew,
and then and then they're talking to each other and I think that's been has been an interesting kind of problem. I know Contreras wants to run this game and I love Contreras. I'm not criticizing him at all here, but I do think it is interesting that that these guys, it's sort of getting in their heads. He's got to be careful about that. And so, Carl Edwards Jr. had a little, you know, there was some, it was him, right? Was it C.J. Edwards?
Yeah, C.J. Edwards.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
it's Contreras is notorious for with a lot of mound visits. When it comes to guys like Lester, who's a veteran, Contreras does not go to the mound unless Lester calls him to the hill. So it's a little bit different when you have a younger pitcher. Contreras is trying to manage things. But yeah, some of the veteran guys are like, just stay over there, Wilson.
Yeah.
We know what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah. And but they didn't want a stolen sign there because guys had been on second.
Right.
And he's, you know, and that was the reason. So he comes out. And it was too many meetings. Violetta is 100% right. It was too many meetings. And the thing is that he kept riding the fastball up on him while he was trying to bunt. Right. It was just a bunt. And so he needed to give him something. He needed to go low, but apparently he couldn't. Listen, that kid has got a crazy, crazy fast fastball right there. They can't help but rise. It's moving so fast. So that's part of his issue.
Did you see the T-shirt that's trending because some guy wore it at the game last night? There's always last year. And now people are saying they should sell it. And they're, I mean, like, people are getting into this and everything. I'm thinking, let's hold off, right?
I mean,
we got some more games, at least a game to play.
You guys are diehards. Has this been easier to digest knowing what happened last year compared to in the past when it's been heartbreak?
Oh, yeah. For sure. Absolutely.
And plus, I mean, like, yeah, there's going to be a couple holes in the offseason, but the core is here, and they're going to be here for a long time. You're going to have Rizzo and Bryant and Baez and Almora. These guys are going nowhere. This is a team that it will probably be right back in the postseason next year.
It's they have built, and you know this is where Theo Epstein and Judd, and you got to hand it to Tom Ricketts here for writing the checks and giving these guys the authority to do it and not getting in the way like the way that the Tribune Company did for so many years. Right? The way the Wrigley family did and then the way the Tribune Company got in the way. Yeah. You know, different company than our company now, by the way. I just want to point that
out.
But whatever. But it is. But the way that they cut, you know, they always were. You know, well, I don't know. Do you really think we need to spend that? I think we're paying Milt Pappas $50 a game. I mean, what are we going to do?
Milt Pappas.
You know, so it's sort of like, oh sure, he can sell pizza on the side because it's just because we're not. It would be better. You know, it's sort of like, you know, so there is, you know, they're always kind of getting in the way. They're not getting in the way here. They have built a core. This team is. This is one of the elites in Major League Baseball. You got elite talent. I think people are going to start second guessing Joe Maddon. Mm-hmm. That's a terrible mistake.
It is a mistake.
You know,
think about what he's done.
And so this is like a bad, you know, this is kind of a bad moment here. But they're in the NLCS. Let's enjoy the fact that
they're here.
They will have missed, potentially. I mean, this will be the greatest comeback of all times, but I don't.
But, you know, let's just take it game by game, right? Tonight, what has been going on with the hitting, though, Kevin? I mean, what's happening? What's going on?
Just a bad approach at the plate. They're striking out a bunch. They're striking out 34% of the time in the postseason. That's, like, god-awful, historically bad numbers. And they're not walking. They used to, during the regular season, they drew a ton of walks, and they're just not doing that this series. So, they just have the wrong approach. They're getting a little over anxious at times. They're relying on games they've hit at least one home run. They've lost every one of those postseason games. They're 3-1 on games they haven't hit home runs in the postseason. So that tells you what? That when they're overextending at the plate, just trying to hit a grand slam on one pitch, it's not working for them. They need to string hits together, and that's what Joe Maddon's been preaching.
Excuse me.
Yep.
You know, this is the one thing that as Chicago fans, I think sports fans in general do this, but Chicago fans do this to a fairly well. There is another team on the field, right?
We don't give them any credit.
And the fact is that the Nationals and the Dodgers have the two best, the one and two best pitching staffs in the National League, if not baseball, right? So we're dealing here with starters that are out of their minds. Scherzer, Strasburg.
Clayton Kershaw, the
Clayton
best
Kershaw.
Pitcher maybe ever to pitch in the history of baseball. That's not an exaggeration.
Then they have that Game of Thrones looking guy, the Turner guy.
Yeah.
Looks like he belongs to one of the Wildings from Game of Thrones.
Yes, he's right.
Big furry red beard.
That guy, and you got Yu Darvish.
Right, that was a trade deadline acquisition.
Yeah. I mean, that's like an amazingly genius
move.
Could be a Cub next year.
Could see as a Cub uniform next year. He's a free agent after this year, so. Yeah.
Boy, wouldn't that be nice.
That would be the moment. And I'll tell you, can I tell you something? You know who I think is not going to be a Cub next year?
Who? John Lackey?
Well, yes.
Jake Arrieta?
Yes.
Who else? Who else do you got?
Kyle Schwarber.
Oh, Schwarbs?
They got a... why do you say you
think
they'll
trade him? They may move him to the AL.
Yeah, it's really
For a pitcher. I think you're going to see... I think this... I mean, listen, he's amazing talent. An amazing talent. But... You mark my words. They're going to be looking to get because they're going to lose some pitching talent here. Obviously, that's the key. You're watching it. You're seeing the results of that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need it. Yu Darvish. They're going to be able. They don't have to trade for him. They just pay for him, mm-hmm. and they may have to make a. They may have to make a move for a guy who's either a. I mean, I don't know if they'll be in the offseason. This will happen, but I think during the season you're going to see him get because he's very valuable. To the American League.
Oh, yeah. He's an AL player all the way. I mean, they've done some things with him. It's just, even yesterday, you saw him just take forever. forever to get the ball back into the field. And a guy hit the ball to left field and tripled. How often do you see that?
Right.
Like, normally it's
right
hit the left, a minimum, yeah, a double. And he let it get to the corner. And we've seen him make two errors in one play earlier on in the postseason. He's not a defender.
I just got to tell you something.
I like that call. I like that bold prediction, Ro.
I like him
out of town, but I like that. I think that's a real possibility.
They're better off with me in left field. That's what I'm going to say.
Please.
Schwarber does have a cannon for an arm, but the problem is actually getting to the ball before you can throw it. So
I can throw the ball far once.
Yeah, right. By the way, guys, yesterday in pregame warmups, I'm just kind of watching Wilson Contreras play catch in left field.
What's going on there? Is he all right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's okay. This was before yesterday's game. I watched him from about left center, where that Under Armour door is, where the bullpen is, but he's still on the grass. Just kind of goofing around. They're all done. He chucks the ball over Sheffield on top of one of the rooftops.
Saw it with
my own two eyes. Threw it into one of the suites.
One of those tall
over
rooftops?
Over Sheffield, yes.
Oh, my God.
That's his arm for you. It was incredible. I'm watching this. I'm waiting for it to land in the bleachers. And then it keeps going and going, and it landed in the suites in the one of the Wrigley rooftop buildings off of Sheffield.
He must be protected. He is part of the core. Here's a guy who can be – he can be a Yadier Molina. He can be a guy that can
Buster Posey.
A guy who's with your franchise, a franchise catcher, because you need a franchise catcher. Franchise catchers to me are like quarterbacks. I mean, they are critically important to the and great teams have them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's that guy. I mean, he's a leader. He's got the most amazing set of technical skills I've ever seen in a catcher. His pickoff at second base is amazing. His back pick at first base is unbelievable. His ability to control the plate is great. I mean, he is as great, and he calls a good game. He's as great a catcher as you're ever going to see play the game. He's an automatic Hall of Famer.
Great.
There you
go.
All right. I gotta go now. Now I've talked myself into being excited about tonight.
I'm excited.
I will be out there tonight.
Will you be sitting in the seats where we can see you on television?
I don't know. I saw Bruce Rauner last night on television.
Great, great seats. First row.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Are we having a budget crisis, Governor? Although he made $91 million last year.
I think he can afford the nice seats.
Yeah.
He's okay.
Plus, ticket prices went down.
It kind of did.
Yeah, right.
He's like, I can snag a ticket now. No one's going to say anything.
He's like on StubHub, scooping up last-minute deals. $70
for standing
room. Brenda? What's his wife's name? That was actually the other governor's wife's name, right? Well, Brenda Edgar, right? I can never remember.
Yeah, there was a Brenda.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is, I'm just going to call her Brenda for the moment. Brenda, go on StubHub, see what we can get. Don't go to MLB. No, this is StubHub. We'll take the chance.
Diana is her name.
Diana.
Mm-hmm.
Diana! All right.
Get us really good seats, though.
Get us. Oh, look what I found in front row, right next to the camera nest on first base. Okay. All right. Here is Violetta Pride of Medic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots, not Spats.
Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook. Tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN TV. Your pick just might be Chicago's Best.
All right, we've got Judy Pilak standing by with the WGN News. And then it's Wednesdays.
Doesn't work.
With Brendan.
Used to be Tuesdays with Brendan.
Yeah.
But then he's here on a Wednesday.
Brendan Riley, the official alderman of the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. He's going to be here to talk about. The city has a bunch of new taxes that are designed to tax suburbanites for using the city.
Whoa.
Yeah.
People are not going to be happy about that.
Or anybody who wants to, Funtime Charlie's. Uh-huh.
Isn't that what the city's for? To come in and enjoy yourself, spend some money.
Yeah, but they're gonna get their dollars out of you when you do that. 15 cents at a time, and we'll explain what those are gonna be.
Uh-oh.
But first, Judy Pilak standing by, WGN News, 2 minutes away.
It is my privilege to present our proposed city budget for 2018. This year, Chicago is on firmer financial footing than we've been in many years. This will be the first budget free of any financial and fiscal gimmicks that I inherited as mayor. We will not have any scoop and toss. We will not raid the rainy day fund. We will not be selling off assets. All of the things that I said we were going to change and make sure that we had honest budgeting happen.
Oh, the scoop and toss.
and toss.
You know what?
That's a pro move, isn't it?
That is, you know what that is? The scoop and toss. That's something that that I believe the Bears are going to try on Sunday.
I was like,
I'm working on the scoop and toss.
Scoop and toss.
Yeah. Alderman Brendan Riley is here,
oh,
and thank
gosh.
God.
You can explain
what,
it.
What's a scoop and toss?
That's my favorite dance move.
We'd like to see a video of
I know that one. You know, you and I should go out on Michigan Avenue with a bucket and do the scoop and toss.
Yeah. Oh, I know that one.
Yeah.
We could make
that's
at least
awful.
$2 or $3.
There's a dude in a gorilla suit across the street. He's out there almost every day. And I do admire the guy because he's a very good dancer. And he's got the bucket out in front. And I think he's doing that. I think he's got sort of scoop and toss. Yeah. What is this going? What is he talking about?
Scoop and toss, not to get into heavy detail. Basically, it's refinancing old debt. But basically paying it off quicker at a higher rate, and that's not good. So actually, we're ending that.
Why do we want to do
this
that?
Year?
What was the ostensible reason?
When
for
you're carrying
that?
A lot of debt, you have to keep refinancing it. And so it's been a really inefficient way for us to handle our budgets, and I give the mayor a lot of credit. Over the last several years, he's weaned us off of that program. Just last week, the council approved a new financial instrument that actually lets us to borrow money at a much, much cheaper cost. So that's going to allow us to retire a lot of very expensive bonds faster, and then we're going to be able to go out and reissue new bonds at a much, much better rate for the city of Chicago.
Oh.
Sounds like scooping toss is pretty important.
Well, it's good that we're getting rid of it. This is the final move, and then we're off that program,
right.
And that's good for taxpayers.
So that's why we're on firmer financial footing, as the mayor said it.
One of the reasons.
Are we?
Well, let's see. I mean, when the mayor came into office, the city had a structural operating deficit, meaning an annual deficit, mm-hmm. of over $600 million a year. I mean,
okay.
Massive.
We were that's a lot of money.
Hemorrhaging money. And this is after the sale of the parking meters and the garages and
that
the skyway
well.
And all that stuff that was really bad. We're now down to a structural deficit of about $114 million. So we've made a lot of very meaningful progress under his administration. And I give him a lot of credit for that. But what I'm a little concerned about with this budget proposal that he's put forward today is that as we're emerging from the forests, you know, getting close to you know, being above water for the first time in decades, we're talking about spending a lot more money to provide funding to the Chicago Public Schools, which the city council does not have jurisdiction over, and to give money to the CTA, whose budget we have no jurisdiction over. And so those two ticket items add up to about $100 million.
Are those separate? I know the schools are. CTA is a separate taxing district?
They're both independently run from the city council. So we can't haul the CTA in and examine their budget or approve it. They do that on their own, and they are accountable only to the mayor. And likewise,
oh.
the Chicago Public Schools Board. They
but
don't report
does the
to
city
us.
Give them the money for that, or are they their own entity?
So CPS is its own taxing body.
Right, we get that.
Right?
Yeah, but CTA.
CTA gets a blend of federal grant, state grant. A lot of their money comes through big block grants.
Mm-hmm.
But fare increases are something that they vote on their own. We don't approve that.
Right.
So the city council and the city of Chicago's government has never been the one to send funding streams to these sister agencies.
I do want to say something about the CTA, though. I think the CTA deserves some credit here. I don't think the CTA has ever been more efficient than it is in terms of its service. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on with its budget. But in terms of its service, I think it runs as a, you know, I've been taking the CTA mm-hmm. on and off, more off than on, but on and off for, you know, my whole life here in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is going pretty well. The equipment is
oh, yeah.
up to date. The new L stations downtown.
They're great.
Subway stations downtown are great. There's a lot of really cool stuff.
Well, and the mayor prioritized a lot of reinvestment in the stations and really cleaning things up. And look, mm-hmm. I think the CTA is generally a well-run agency. My concern is the precedent the city council will be setting by giving them a dedicated revenue stream. I'm concerned about writing a blank check to an agency whose budget I don't control.
Right.
I want accountability. If we're going to give money to an agency, I want to know it's being spent properly.
Who the hell's on that CTA board?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you.
Oh.
And so my point is that, you know, the city council is being asked to write a couple of really big checks to sister agencies that we have no control over, no jurisdiction over. And this is the first time ever. I'm just concerned that, you know, say things get even worse for CPS. Suddenly they're going to come to the city council and ask for $100 million a year, $200 million a year. We can't be that lifeline. That's why they're their own taxing district. I think all my colleagues want to give CPS more funding and resources because they need it. Mm-hmm. But I just think this is heading down a dangerous path for future mayors and city councils. They could become entirely dependent on us when we're still trying to get our books balanced.
Is this a multi-year situation? So is it in perpetuity? How is this set up? Is there an end to it?
No. So the $80 million being proposed for CPS would help defray public safety costs.
What does that mean? Police?
Police, security for schools.
Safe passage.
Safe passage, these programs, which are very important.
How is Safe Passage working? Do you think it's working?
It's working very well. Okay. And it's kind of an all hands on deck. I mean, my ward superintendent for Streets and Sanitation actually goes and manages a Safe Passage route when this program kicks off every year.
Not in your neighborhood?
Well, Ogden School, okay. Which is just across the street. But my point is that, and actually in other challenged areas, they get moved around. But my point is this. We don't have any authority to control that money once it goes out the door. And I need to know the $80 million, really, is that really the cost of these public safety initiatives, or is it really $20 million? So we want to actually have them itemize that and break it out for us so we understand where these costs come from. But the bottom line is that for years, we've been reimbursed for the police services that we provide to these sister agencies. Mm-hmm. And again, my job is managing the city of Chicago's budget. I don't have purview over these other agencies. And I think a lot of my colleagues are concerned about that, too. I think that the mayor is well-intended. I applaud him for wanting to support the schools and CTA. I just think that this puts us on a dangerous path where they can ask for more and more money down the road that, frankly, we don't have.
All right. So here are the new taxes talking about. A $1.10 a month increase in the 911 phone tax. Now, when you look at your phone bill, it's interesting because there's the 911. Mm-hmm. It's basically the emergency phone system phone tax. It's already a significant dollar amount, right?
It is.
It's over $5-6 or something like that?
I think it's just shy of $4.
Okay. All right. So it's that. So it's going to go up to between $5 and $6.
Right.
So what? Now, is that money all going to 911? Because I know this trick, Alderman. I'm old enough. All I have to be is about an hour old in this town to realize what goes on here, where you call it one thing and you do something
else.
You move
it over there.
Yeah. What's going on there?
Just like the lottery was for the schools, right?
Yes.
The lottery is for the children. Yeah.
That was right. It was fourth grade and I realized
Well, that's what we – so the next 2 weeks we're going to be in budget hearings, and they start on Monday, and we go through the budget literally page by page, and we bring in each department to justify their request for next year. Mm-hmm. We're going to be pinning them down on that. We want to know exactly where that money is slotted to go, and we want to understand exactly what it's paying for.
I mean, if it's paying for cops, it's one thing. If it's paying for the phone service, and listen, you want to have the best.
You sure do.
We have a pretty good 911 system as it is, but there is, you want the best personnel there possible because they are the front line, right?
That's right.
Those are some amazing professionals, the people who handle that system.
They do a great job.
And they truly do. So you want that, but I mean, what is it? Is it infrastructure? Is it more personnel? Whatever it is. Now, there's also, listen to this, there's a, they said there'll be about $30 million is what that would raise. There will also be a 15-cent fee hike, and I don't know what that means, for Uber and Lyft rides. Is that per ride or per dollar or per what? What is that?
Per ride.
Per ride. Okay.
And they're also tacking on $5 for the pickups from O'Hare and Midway.
That's right.
So, I'm still mad about that. Still mad that the Uber and Lyft guys who need no training other than a cell phone get to pull up next to the terminals and the cabs and the limo drivers who've been doing this professionally for generations have to sit in that lot, and they're not allowed, and they're like, oh, I gotta check your trunk when you go through.
Right.
And some
seems wrong.
Uber dude just shows up and sits right there next to and by the way, they're picking up people at departures. And if I picked up somebody at departures,
they would
get a ticket.
No, sure they would. Definitely slap you with a ticket
for
that.
Would. And actually that money, the additional surcharge for those trips on Uber and Lyft, that's the money that would be sent to the CTA. That would generate about $16 million a year.
I see.
So that's one of those funding streams some of my colleagues and I are a little concerned about being sent out the door. before we've really gotten our budget fully stabilized.
Makes sense. Yeah. So our telephone is going to go up, and then the Uber and Lyft, if you're doing that, but we're going to get more police, is more money for the police departments.
That's what's been promised, and that's that needs to be a funding priority. We need to hire more police, and we need to do it very quickly. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that the mayor has made that a priority in the last 2 years. It's something that I've been banging the drum on for 10 years now that I've been alderman. Overtime is a useful tool, but it can't be the entire solution. Mm-hmm. We're taking our best police officers and we're wearing them out. Yeah. When cops are working 18 hours, guess what? You get tired, you make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And so I'd much rather have fresh, new police officers on the street, well-trained, who are rested and right in their minds because they're not exhausted.
But guys take the overtime because they want to make the money.
And I want them to get their overtime money too, but that can't become a second job.
It's a little ridiculous right now, the amount of overtime.
But sometimes overtime is about weeks, right? They don't take their furlough, right? I mean, so it's about...
It's a blend.
But yeah. It's not necessarily working 18 hours. It's just working 52 weeks a year, 50 weeks a year, 48 weeks a year.
It can actually be both, though. So during the summer months, when we want to do a surge in police presence in River North, we'd say we're having some problems with nightclubs.
Bottle blonde. Okay, whatever. Yeah.
We're bottle blonde, sure.
No saggy pants if they stop wearing them.
Our favorite. But if we do a surge in River North, for example, they'll actually have guys that have already been working their 8 hours, and they'll keep them on for another 5 to 8 hours. It's not commonplace, but it does happen.
Yeah, right.
Seeing a lot of that.
Guys showing up, getting off the job at that had been on for 12 hours, getting back off.
Clocking right back.
5, 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Okay, but I think we're all in agreement here. We need police. We need, you know, security. This city, it's thankfully the numbers are decreasing. They're still well above the national average for big cities, well above New York and Los Angeles. We are still a national embarrassment. It's not quite as bad as it was. Do you have any sense, Alderman, why that is?
Well, sure. And I think some of your listeners may disagree with me. But unlike New York, we're ringed by states that have very liberal gun laws. It is very easy to purchase a weapon in Indiana or Wisconsin, but especially Indiana. Whereas in New York State, for example, they're ringed with states that have strong gun laws. So it's much more difficult.
There's a problem. There's a question. What I'm asking, and I don't disagree with you on that, but what about the issue of the decrease in violence here? Are you getting any sense, or the police telling you anything about what's, is it that the policing is working? Is it that the gang war that was going on is fizzling out? What's happening?
No, I think, well, there's been an incredible influx of resources into the highest crime areas of our city. We've seen a 43% reduction year over year in violent crime in Inglewood, for example.
Because of technical overlay, right? The cameras and all that stuff.
All of that, yeah. We've retooled how the department works there. And frankly, we've sent a lot of extra resources and cops down there to help, too. So that's definitely moving the needle. I know that Police Superintendent Johnson has also changed their strategy for attacking these things. Mm-hmm. And they're working extra hard to train these cops to build better relationships in the community so they're getting better intel in real time from neighbors.
Okay, it's Wednesdays with Brendan. It used to be Tuesdays.
I like the sound of Tuesdays.
Yes, we'll go back to Tuesdays.
Are you free Tuesdays? Can you ever come on Tuesdays?
Whatever you guys like. I'll show up.
Yeah, we just got to get to him before he's on to his next thing. And I know what that
I know.
Is. All right, thank you, Alderman. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Alderman.
Got Violetta Powder-Medic, WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
I can't wait. I know we got all the sports to watch tonight and, you know, be fully engaged with our Cubs. But there's also a debate on tax reform with your two favorites, Senator Ted Cruz and Senator Bernie Sanders.
Oh.
Town Hall.
I can't wait. I'm going to have a lot of fun with Bernie. Bernie smells like must and mothballs.
He might have to pull that out tonight if Bernie starts taking shots at him. Be ready.
All right.
Senator Cruz.
Okay. Now, yesterday, when the Obamacare thing seemed to, there was going to be a bridge piece of legislation that was going to put these payments back for the insurance companies, this supplemental funding for the insurance companies so they could pass along the savings, if you will, to the consumer. And now that we were asking yesterday, we were calling around like, hey, Every congressman can think of, hey,
what's happening?
What is happening? And now it looks like it's dead.
Yep.
It's dead. So now we have Peter Roskin, who was a congressman on. So is it dead? What happened here? What a difference 24 hours makes.
It might be like in Princess Bride, where it's mostly death. So we'll see. I mean, these guys have been talking for a long time. And here's the bigger point, I think. There is so much pressure to come to some sort of reasonable solution on health care because nobody's happy where it is. The right. defenders of the ACA aren't really happy. People like me that don't like the ACA, we want to see it go away and move in a different direction. You know, my constituents aren't happy. And so the idea of just well, the Senate says, well, we tried real hard, and then they're going to play political, not it. It's not good enough. So the Senate's under a lot of pressure to come up with something.
Well, all right. So you guys passed something, but you passed something that even when it was going over to the Senate, they're like, don't pass what we passed. Work out your own deal. And then we'll pass that. Right. I mean, that was that's exactly what happened. So the House does. When I see Paul Ryan, I got a lot of respect for Paul Ryan. But when I see him up there going, hey, we did our job. You didn't. You passed something that you knew was not going to pass muster. You just need to get it over to the Senate so that you could do a reconciliation bill on the other side of it. So the real issue here is. And it's true. I mean, technically that the Senate does have to do something here to bring it all back. But what can be agreed on? It does seem to me, I mean, the president, look, president yesterday, he was in the Rose Garden, and he was more than happy to, and he was like, this is going to be, it's a short-term deal, it can last a couple of years, it'll get us over the hump, and it seemed like if it had been brought to him that day, he would have signed it. The thing is, he started to hear people peeling off, he started to hear senators peeling off it, and House folks peeling off it. And saying, no, this is not something we really want to do because God knows what, you know, there's anything that in some districts, not yours particularly, Congressman Roskin, but in other districts around the country, anything that even remotely appears to be supporting Obamacare would be seen as a death sentence for Republicans. But this is, so they knew that. And so people were peeling off and the president's like, oh, I never liked it in the first place. So where is this? Where I mean, can because after the first of the year, there's going to be trouble here, isn't there?
So there's a couple things that are happening. First of all, the payments to the insurance companies, the commissioners in Illinois and most of the insurance commissioners across the country presumed that those payments were not going to be made. So, is the president pulling the rug out underneath it longer term? Yes, he is. Is this an immediate crisis? No, it's not. Overall, the ACA is imploding of its own weight, but that doesn't do anybody any good. So then the next question is, can the Senate, through this bipartisan negotiation, through Murray and, Senators Alexander and Murray, can they come up with something? And that was the on-again, off-again stuff yesterday. Or if they can't, here's my prediction. I think what ends up happening is they do a real full court press again on the Graham-Cassidy, the Republican version of repeal and replace. It got pretty close. Now, Senator McCain dumped all over that, but I am told that some of the other senators were really quite close and kind of warming up to it. So, but this dynamic, to your point, Roe, it's all changing because nobody is happy with where we are, and nobody is content with saying, oh, let's just let this sort out, in 2018. Forget about it. You know, there's an urgency to this. I got a congressional district that is getting crushed right now by the status quo. I mean, these numbers, and you've had these guys on your show. You know what it's like. These premiums are out of control. The copays are out of control. They're just begging for mercy. And so the notion of doing nothing is completely unsatisfactory.
Congressman, can we also ask you about tax reform? The president today switched over to tax reform and said we really got to get it done. You heard the Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, he's pushing very hard, saying we have to have this done. The stock market will actually fall, he warns, if we do not get something passed on tax reform. And yet, is there hope of that happening? It seems that, again, we've sort of fall along party lines in terms of the way people are digesting what's been proposed and what's out there.
Here's what's interesting about this. I think it's a really different debate than health care. So think about it. On health care, you've got some people that love the status quo. They love the ACA and others that just don't like it. But in tax reform, in the tax code, nobody likes the Internal Revenue Code. And I mean, nobody likes the Internal Revenue Code.
So there's
code.
Some agreement.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you on that. My accountant loves it.
He does? Because, likes to play with it?
Because he charges me for interpreting it.
Yeah. That's true. How many hunger strikes and candlelight vigils are you doing for your accountant? Yeah.
Not many.
So nobody likes it. Okay, so here's the thing. Let's recognize nobody likes it. Let's recognize that the status quo is a mess for a whole lot of reasons. Complexity, we're losing on the international stuff. And what we're doing in the House is saying, look, let's give middle-income people tax relief and make it real. So this is not some hocus-pocus, but it's real tax relief. So they get real relief in the short run. And then let's change how businesses are doing it. So, for example, for the first time ever, we're saying that small businesses or companies that are organized as what's known as a pass-through entity, that is, they're paying at the individual rate, which, by the way, is most businesses in most congressional districts across the country. Mm-hmm. Let's get their rate down to 25%. So that the power behind that in terms of growth and opportunity is fantastic. So what we're trying to do is say, look, there's some people that are going to vote against any proposal because it's a Republican proposal and so forth. But not every Democrat is like that.
No.
There's some Democrats that are willing to say, you know, show me this thing. I'm willing to negotiate back and forth, and let's see if we can figure out some common ground. That's what we're shooting for. A bipartisan deal is much better than a partisan deal.
I never liked it. I mean, we're in a very weird moment in American history, and this is for another conversation about how strung out we are politically between left and right, and how the middle is crumbling, and that's a very scary thing. And I know congressmen and a lot of the Illinois Republicans, are in this camp that, you know, struggle to try to sow the middle together. Because you're in a very dynamic district, right, in the western suburbs and northwestern suburbs where you have Republicans and Democrats, and, you know, you're trying to you have to cobble that together. There isn't a moment right now, I think, where I didn't like it when Republicans were not on board with anything that Barack Obama did. I don't like it when Democrats are not on some of the stuff that's coming out of Washington right now. You can feel however you feel about Donald Trump. I know a lot of Republicans who feel exactly as I do about Donald Trump. But Democrats, it's a reflexive thing, I think, for a lot of Democrats, the same way it was for Republicans about Barack Obama. And I think that we have to stop and look at what, you know, there still has to be movement forward here on a lot of things that are screwed up. ACA, sure. Obamacare is
absolutely
one of them. This is another one. This is this is interesting because it's something he did run on. We're going to change the tax code. People have been talking about forever and ever and ever and ever since I was a baby DJ. They've been talking about coming up with a tax plan where you can put it in a postcard, right? I mean, it's an idea that is appealing to a lot of people, but it's not appealing to people who actually do want to write things off. Right. And there's a lot of people in businesses and middle class and upper middle class and very well off people who spend a lot of time writing things off. But anybody who's got a mortgage has to do it on more than just a postcard. Right. So it's like a whole other deal. And you need. Go ahead.
I mean, just quickly on that postcard idea. Our proposal says keep mortgage interest, keep charitable, refashion the how we deal with state and local taxes, for example. But, Ro, look, if you get the tax rate to a reasonable point, you don't need all this other stuff. You don't need the other write-offs. And the write-offs are kind of collapsing in on themselves.
It's a level
of complexity that is just – it's for basically rich people that are able to do it.
Right. And I think the mortgage thing is a nonsense. I mean, that's got to stay because that's
– For sure.
That would be
for
disastrous
sure.
to the economy if they
and
took
the
that
charitable
out.
Deduction.
Sure.
And charitable, too,
stay.
Because
absolutely.
No question. The state and local tax. Now, that's going to be interesting because I think the Illinois delegation is going to get rolled over by Alabama here. The same way the University of Alabama would roll over Illinois if they played them in football.
Possibly.
Because
true.
I think that state and local tax deduction is going to go away. Republicans want to do away with that sort of writ large because they would like to, because it punishes blue states more than it does red states.
Here's where I think this lands in terms of compromise, and this is what I'm working hard to find some common ground on. So you got four states that care about this: California, New York, Illinois, and New Jersey. Right. And the votes in those states matter. So what we're trying to do is say, look, you can't do comprehensive tax reform and not touch the tax code. So, all right, let's figure it out and let's refashion it. And my view is, I think most people that I represent, when they get really, it's property taxes in particular that really frosts them.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, really makes them ticked off.
Especially up here,
so
yeah.
Let's figure out if we can come up with a soft landing on property taxes in particular. And there's a lot of activity and a lot of enterprise, you know, a lot of negotiation that's going on to try and come up with a soft landing. And what I've told colleagues from across the country on tax reform, I've said, look, tax reform does not mean the redistribution of a tax liability from your district to my district. That's not how we're playing this game. What we've got to do is make sure that everybody gets relief and that this becomes rational all the way around. And I think we can take some steps in the right direction that when it nets out, I think people are going to say, that's a good plan. You know, that makes sense to me.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're there and I'm not. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know how the hell you people do what you do, but get back on that plane and get back there.
Get something done.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Appreciate the conversation.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. Peter Roskam. He's a voice in the wilderness right there.
But
appreciate his time. All right. Here is Violetta Powder-Medic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
Play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com. Check it out today.
All right, now this could be interesting.
Mm-hmm. What's up?
Carrie Wood is going to join us coming up after the bottom of the hour news with Judy Pilak.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Cubs are in Game 4 of the National League Championship Series, and they are down 0-3.
And they will not get swept. So Carrie's going to tell us how that's not going to happen.
May I ask a question? Do I care if they get swept or just lose the series?
Well, I'm not sure I care. Let's see some fight in them. Come on. We haven't seen the Cubs that we know and love. They need to come out.
Win sort of just feels like you're delaying the inevitable.
It does sort of feel like that. I hate to be that guy. Last night, if they had won last night. Look, the Yankees against who I think is maybe the best team in baseball, the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
The Yankees tied that series. I mean, they were down 0-2 going back to Yankee Stadium. They won. A nail-biter.
Yeah, and they came back yesterday. They were down
4-0
yesterday, in that game. Came back to win 6-4.
They won big on Monday night, but then nail-biter last night. Mm-hmm. And it's that's a real series.
Right. Would it be worse if they win the next two games and then lose? It's like, oh, we almost made it.
No, I think I'd like that. I would like.
You
to
would
see,
rather have them lose?
Yeah,
game
I would like to
seven
see some more
than
fight.
Than
no, I don't want them to lose. That's not the right way to say it. I just like to see more fight. I mean, come on, look at
but
these
if they're
games.
Gonna lose,
look at these games. This isn't the Cubbies that we know.
It's like baseball euthanasia. This is what we're
no,
talking
it's
about here.
Not guys. We got. I mean, come on.
Take us out of our misery.
Right. It's like
Sweeping.
The black lab. It's like he's 14. He's got the hips.
It was like when the Blackhawks got swept. It was like, ouch! It just hurt.
Well, they got
like,
swept in the first round, right? I mean, twice. That's a little different. At least they got past beating the Nationals, who are arguably the best team in the National League.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big deal.
Super big deal.
You know, but they have been silent. I mean, we'll talk to Carrie about this.
Took a lot out of them. Yeah,
they have been.
Maybe that's it.
Well, they didn't have bats in that series here either, and they won.
That's true.
And their middle inning relief was a little suspect in that series.
Get it together, boys.
I know there is that's going to be an off-season priority for Theo, Jed, the boys.
I'm available. Fresh arm over here.
Golden Blackberry. Yeah. There's a moment when T.J. Edwards comes in, there's a moment like,
I've been on 12 years rest. My arm's real fresh right now. So if they need it.
Oh, perfect. That helps. Not tired at all.
That'll
That's
do it
why
every
you
time.
Should pick Kevin.
Yeah. I could throw underhand.
underhand.
Can I ask you a question about Pedro Strop since we're on this conversation?
I don't know why he wears his hat crooked.
Okay, that's all I want to know.
Kappa Baez and his finger wagging. Was that inappropriate, appropriate? I liked it because we were all frustrated
fans hated it and Cub fans loved it. Just like when Yasiel Puig, because he did it to Puig. And Puig's, this...
unbearable
guy who's very loud on the field, and a lot of people don't like him, but Dodger fans like him. So I don't know. It's if you're a fan of the Cubs, I think you love that. If you're a Dodgers fan, you hated it.
You don't usually see that, though, do you? In the postseason play, you don't see a lot.
Those
of
are a couple flashy guys, anyways. So
yeah, well, little finger wag everyone now and again.
Dikembe Mutombo finger wag right there from Javi.
Yeah.
Not in my house.
Yeah, but it's, yeah. Unfortunately, it's, yeah, it did happen in your house.
Right.
That's unfortunately the case. I don't want to know about Pedro Strop. And, for a while, I thought that he had the hat, the C moved over on the hat.
Yeah, like it just looked weird, right? Like
I thought he moved the C over to like so that the C was center, but the hat was askance. But it turns out he has not had that done. The C is actually where it's supposed to be.
Right, it's properly situated.
The hat is actually I mean, it's sort of like why. Why?
I'm gonna dig and
that's
try
what
to
you're
find
asking?
That out.
I want to know why.
Carry.
Why
you
does he do
why
that?
His hat doesn't look right.
Well,
I
because
know
he
why
wears
the
it
Cubs
sideways.
Are about to get swept.
I don't want to know why he wants to wear the hat sideways. It's like yeah. I don't get it. I don't.
I'll do some digging between there's, now.
He's not the only guy in Major League Baseball does that, by the way.
No.
There's some other guys who do it. It's sort of like I'm going with this. I am going to go with, I don't know, Roger Goodell's got his hands full right now in the NFL.
He's got a lot on his hands.
I'd like him to do an investigation into the sideways hat.
Oh, come on. Like Deflategate? Because that worked out so well.
Right.
So great for the NFL.
Right. Yes. I mean, I don't think Major League Baseball, I mean,
they've overlooked this for too long. We got to get our priorities straight.
We don't even think about the baseball commissioner anymore. Right? I mean, it's like, you know, who's the baseball commissioner? I don't know. It's that guy. Is it still a guy from Milwaukee? No.
It's probably good. I mean, things are running
Rob
smoothly.
Manfred.
Right.
Took over for Bud Selig.
Right, for Bud Selig, who was the interim for like 12 years or 14 years or whatever he was.
Mm-hmm. He's a lifetime.
Not supposed to be there forever. All right. I don't know. I just want the hat. Maybe I'm just saying
to
put the hat on. Maybe if he put the hat on straight.
That would make a difference?
He would maybe just mow people down.
Okay, let's ask Kerry what about that theory. See what he says.
All right. Here is, Judy, in 2 minutes, is going to be here. And then Kerry Wood on the other side.
We've made a great effort so far. Let's just keep it up.
That's right. We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've come too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to just keep our composure.
Yeah. Sure do.
Kerry Wood, brought to you by Sloan. Water connects us. All right, KK! All right, Woody, I don't know what to do about this.
It's kind of how we're feeling right now, isn't it? Don't panic. It's all okay.
Is there any way we could get him to come in and give that speech to the
team today? Wouldn't that be precious? He's so perfect.
Kind of need him. By the way, let me mention this before we get started with Kerry Wood. The Wood Family Foundation's Pitch-In Mentoring Program, currently serving 4th to 7th graders in their after-school program, the Lawndale Community. Celebrity guests, exciting field trips, fun opportunity for Chicagoans to support underserved youth, mentors only expected to serve twice a month. So they're looking for mentors. They're looking for people
cool.
who have something to offer these kids. And they're looking for 2 to 4 more mentors for this school year. And you can go to woodfamilyfoundation.org to sign up for that.
How cool is that?
No, thank you.
You're welcome. I think that's a very cool thing. Very cool thing.
Always looking for mentors.
It's an important thing, man. I mean, every young man and woman, I mean, they have to look up to somebody, and it's somebody that they meet in that really critical stage of their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That really changes it. And 4th to 7th grade is that's a big era, right? That's a moment right there where things are getting to lock in. So
yeah, especially in these neighborhoods, you got a chance to grab them at that age, and it's great. And a lot of times, as you guys know, these mentors they seem to get more out of it sometimes than the mentees do. So it's a cool thing to be a part of.
Are you looking for any special skills though, Kerry, or just people willing to?
No, want to be around and help and be a part of these kids' lives. And really, that's the skill. We do it out of the school. It's an after school program that we do at Lawndale Community Academy. We're there 5 days a week now. So we've got, like Ro mentioned earlier, we've just got a need for mentors. We have different groups that come in every day and make that commitment, that monthly commitment to come twice a month and just stay in these kids' lives for a few years.
That's awesome.
Help them, guide them through it.
All right, Kerry Wood, I need your advice.
All right.
For Jake Arrieta tonight. I guess the best advice is don't lose. What do we tell him?
What do you tell him?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably top of the list. No, I'm not. You know what? I really don't worry about Jake. Jake's been big, and he's been good in big games for the Cubs since he's come over here. So I feel good about Jake being on the mound. Alex Wood hasn't pitched hasn't pitched. He was 16-3 with and only 25 starts this year, so the kid knows what he's doing with the ball in his hand and on the mound. But he hasn't pitched in almost 3 weeks. He hasn't pitched in September 26th, so that could be an upside for us, and maybe we can catch him early and before he can get locked in. So the pitching matchup I like tonight.
Okay. All right. Down 0-3, seven-game series.
Yeah.
You know, you really – that losing the two in L.A. I could deal with. This last night, that was tough. Because you got a sense, especially after Schwarber's, you know, second at the number two guy up at bat, boom, you know, they're up 1-0. You're like, okay.
This is it.
This is going to be like what the Yankees did to Houston in their game three, right? They're just going to start rolling up the score on them, and then it's going to make this a real series. Well, that didn't come to pass.
The momentum didn't happen.
What do you say to a team that is down 0-3 in a seven-game series? I mean, what kind of hope can they be afforded?
Well, you got to go. It's pitch by pitch. As silly and as cliche as that sounds, you start the game and it's a must win. Not that every game in the postseason isn't a must win, but forget about being tired, forget about being down 3-0, and worry about this pitch that's coming into the plate, or worry about this batter that you're facing, or this pitch that you need to make as a pitcher. You simplify it as much as you possibly can, and just do it one pitch at a time. And I know you've heard ball players say that for over 100 years, but there's something to it, especially when it comes down to these big situations and these big games. It's just a little more focus and quit worrying about what happened the last 3 days, and worry about this pitch right now.
As a fan, I should put on my pants one leg at a time. I think is what he's telling me.
One leg. Carrie, let me ask you about that whole thing, because Chris Bryant got in some trouble took some heat, I guess I could say, for talking about being tired and how brutal it was beating the Nationals and getting to where they are. And the Dodgers swept, and so they were all rested. And I guess, you know, maybe he was just being honest, and maybe other members of the team are feeling it. I know some others said, no, I'm not tired, but... Is that a factor here from what you're seeing and what you're witnessing?
Yeah, you know, I think at this point, if they had a normal couple days going into L.A., I think it would be something that you wouldn't want to hear. But there's got to be something to it, right? I mean, they left D.C. at 4 a.m. after they clinched and won game five there, and had some snafu with the plane, had to stop and didn't get in until crazy late. You fly across country, you've been up all night, you're dehydrated, your body doesn't recover, you don't get a full off day because you get in at noon or 1 p.m. So it just game one over there in L.A. was the big iffy one for me. And I don't think we really bounced back from game two. You know, last night we're playing a Dodgers team. This lineup is relentless. They really battle against pitchers. They make them throw pitches. They make guys work. They take pitches and they haven't been missing too many mistakes. So these guys were rested, waiting for us to come to them, and we kind of limped in, not I don't think at 100%, but you definitely don't want to hear your players saying in the postseason that they feel tired.
No.
But you get it. Hell, I'm tired.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, no, I totally get it. I mean, I've been in that. I haven't been in the situation. They're in their third year of postseason play, and after coming off a World Series win last year and the hoopla that comes with that, these guys have been putting in more time at the field and at the stadium and traveling than any other team in baseball in the last 3 years. So there's something to that for sure. That being said, it's time to go tonight. So all that has to go out the window, and you got to go get it done.
Mm-hmm. Kev?
Carrie, the most pressing question today was Roe asking me why Pedro Strop wears his hat crooked. Do you have any reasoning behind that?
Oh, gosh.
That's the most important question.
For me, this is a big deal, yeah.
I've been asking that question to myself since he came over here.
I would just it throws out your perspective, at least I would think, because it's like, oh, is that the – wait, am I to my side? Am I throwing straight or am I a little to my left? I don't know.
Well, maybe it straightens him up. Or maybe his left eye is a little more sensitive to light than his right eye.
Oh, could be. It could be.
Carrie, this could potentially be Jake's final start with the Cubs. And what he's done over the past few years – you don't see that very often. Just sort of put in perspective what you've seen from Arrieta since he came over from the Orioles and how impressive he's been with the Cubs.
Yeah, I mean, once we got him, I saw Jake's stuff immediately and was like, where did we get this guy from and how did we get him? And he's just watching him figure it out in that first season was fun. And you could tell his guy was intense and took his job very seriously and was excited to be the guy or to become the guy. And those next 2 years, he did stuff that guys in this game haven't done. And he's been more impressive than anybody that I've seen or come across or even heard of. So he's had such a great run and a great 4 years. And if it is the case and he's moving on and someone's going to get a stud pitcher that's got a lot of innings left in the tank. So we're sorry to see him go if that's the case. But he's been huge for the Cubs.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has.
Well, if you... I don't want to even get in. It's too early to have this conversation about what the offseason looks for these guys.
No, I didn't want to go there.
Yeah. We're talking offseason already.
Yeah. We can't. Like, see, this is what we're dealing with here, Kerry. These guys are so pessimistic, but you guys are pessimistic about the Nationals as well, and look what happened there.
Yeah, well, they weren't down 0-3.
I know, but this
is... Well, it could be down 0-3, but you know what I mean.
You listen to Kerry. He said there's one game. You got one. You put your pants on one leg at a time,
okay,
bro.
That's what I'm going to do. That's what I did this morning.
It's been done before. That's all I need to. That's all I need to know. If I'm trying to do something, as long as I know it's been done before, it can happen.
Yeah. And Theo was there for it.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's okay. I mean, it is all true. And let's face it. I mean, nobody expected them to win three in a row in the World Series last year.
No.
And win, right? I mean, there was no hope of that. It is what a great offseason this or postseason this has been, though. I mean, are these teams, we're seeing baseball at its very, very, very best. We're talking about, we were all upset about the way that the Cubs have lost to the Dodgers. You look at the Dodgers pitching. I mean, as a pitcher, Kerry Wood, there has been some spectacular outings by these guys.
Yeah, no, and I think, that too is part of it, right? Obviously, it's a huge part of it. We ran into Darvish last night, and he just had everything working.
Yeah,
we're down 2-0. We're down 2-0, and I watched Darvish's last two starts, and I didn't think he was wasn't near as sharp in those previous two as he was last night. So, you look like you're coming in down 2-0. Maybe you can get Darvish to make some mistakes out over the plate. Wind's blowing out. I've told my wife before the game started, it's going to be like a 10-12 game.
Yeah, how about that?
But it was a man. He had his slider was devastating. He was locating his four seamer. He was working his two seamer in and out, and he took over. And then obviously you get past the fifth inning, and as an LA starter, your bullpen is just in the best in the game. I think they're right now carrying a 16 2/3 scoreless streak out of their bullpen. So you got to get these guys early. You got to get them the starter. But these guys, like you said, they haven't. Although we've had the lead, a one run lead, these guys put these at bats together and creep back in it and get the lead. And once they get the lead, they're pretty devastating.
Yeah. Boy, you, Darvish, would look pretty good in a Cubs uniform. That's all I'm going to say.
You would. That was impressive last night. Like Kerry said, the wind was howling out last night. I thought there was going to be four or five homers. It's the same conditions here today, but what Darvish did was impressive last night. I don't think anybody was hitting him. I don't care what team, what kind of lineup you rolled out there.
Yeah. All right, Kerry, thank you very much. WoodFamilyFoundation.org, by the way, if you want to serve as a mentor. This is Lawndale Community Academy, 4th to 7th graders are looking for mentors, people who want to give back and take a kid or some kids under their wing this school year. It's a really cool program that the Wood Family Foundation has been a part of now. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for your service to Chicago, sir, as always.
Thank you.
And thank you for being with us.
Well, I appreciate it. And I like Al Mora in the leadoff spot. Last thing, Al Mora in the leadoff spot tonight. I like it.
All right.
Good.
All right.
Look
okay.
Sounds
good. I got thoughts. All right. I'm going to enjoy it out there. That's what I'm going to do out there. Thank you, Woody.
You're going to panic every moment.
Oh,
the
my
game.
God. I'm going to be crying. They're going to show, during the game, they show like some grown man crying.
Yes.
That's going to be me in the first inning.
They're like, oh, there's Bruce Rauner. Oh, who's that? He's a mess, a hot mess. That guy over there. What's going on? Oh, that's Rokan.
Right. Ron Darling. Like, why? There's no crying in baseball. All right. Here is Violetta Podomatic, WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Don't forget, coming up next Friday, not this Friday, next Friday, the 27th, we are going to be doing our very special Halloween show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And this time, we are in Rosemont at the Brauhaus in Rosemont, which is a really cool restaurant, German style, baby. Hofbrauhaus. Did I say Brauhaus? I meant Hofbrauhaus.
Hofbrauhaus.
Did I say Brauhaus?
Gesundheit.
You're welcome. Hofbrauhaus. That is from 3 to 7. You're going to don your Lederhosen.
Okay. What if you don't have any Lederhosen?
Oh, that's a guy's name. Don your Lederhosen. And
great name.
In your dirndl. Don your dirndl.
That's the female version of the Lederhosen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The fancy
looks a lot
skirt.
Different.
That's
though.
Actually Donna your dirndl.
Donna your dirndl.
So, anyway, the point is that we're going to be dressed like that. So you want to do it too. Or whatever, get them however you want.
They are cute costumes. We've got to see them today, and they're really, really great.
I feel like all afternoon someone's going to be saying, Fräulein, get me a beer.
Mm-hmm. They will be, actually, to you.
Danke.
And I will have one to give them, so.
the and we're going to be tapping a keg out there, and that's not just code. That's how we're actually going to be doing that. And and Violetta was spinning around in her dirndl earlier.
Uh-huh. I saw the video. I love super that cute. Skirt.
You look very much like you're from your homeland right there.
The hills are alive.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Austria, but whatever. It's the same deal.
What, does Germany not have any hills?
I guess they do. Hey, dance into your weekend with retro rock and roll tunes from Rosie and the Rivets. They were with us.
They are so good, Rosie
and
the Rivets.
Sven Gulli's going to be there. Nice. Well, the son of Sven Gulli, Rich Combs.
Mm-hmm. Can't be a party without Rich.
It's all brought to you by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands, part of the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour. Go to WGNRadio.com/events for all of your details.
Go get your lederhosen and dirndls now. Mm-hmm. Be ready. Get them dry clean, too.
Exactly.
I'd recommend.
All right, here we go. Here is the opening of the most important part of the day.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go.
This is the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show.
Yep. That's what it is. All right, are you ready?
Ready.
Number 5.
During Jeff Sessions' hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee, Senator Dick Durbin had a tense exchange with the Attorney General over gun violence in Chicago and the Justice Department's response.
If you remove a violent criminal from America that's illegally in the country, and he's arrested by the Chicago police and put in the Chicago jail, that once they're released, they shouldn't be turned over to the federal ICE officers so they can be removed from the country. They were here illegally to begin with, much less commit another crime, and then should not be. How does that make the city of Chicago safer when you don't remove criminals who are illegally in the country?
You can't give an opening statement throwing a bouquet to local police and then ignore what the superintendent of police in Chicago tells you has nothing to do with gun violence. You want to cut off federal funds to that city and come here and criticize the murder rate.
Yeah, but in terms of if there's a warrant for any of these guys, they actually do turn them over because they get handed over to the sheriff's office in the county jail, and then they get handed over. The issue is if they're taken into custody, it's a different situation than is being presented here. That Chicago is just letting wanton criminals out because of their immigration status. That is not the case.
There may be communities, and I don't know, but there may be communities where the undocumented immigrants or illegal immigrants, what do you want to call them, are responsible for a large proportion of the crime. Chicago's not one of those cities. You're not looking at a crime rate and say, oh, it's an illegal immigration issue.
No. But secondly, the illegal immigrants who are picked up, if they're not being arrested for being illegal immigrants, that's the issue. That's question that really becomes the
centerpiece. But they're picked up for a crime just like you or me or anybody else would be.
Right.
If you commit a violent crime, issue. You get picked up.
Yeah. All right. We are, that's the Attorney General. He had other fish to fry today.
Number 4.
During today's White House press briefing, Sarah Huckabee Sanders was pressed by reporters on that phone call that the president had with Maisha Johnson, the widow of Sergeant LaDavid Johnson, killed in Niger a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. right? It's reported that Trump told Ms. Johnson that her husband, who was in that ambush, lost his life in that ambush, knew what, quote, what he signed up for.
I think that the sentiment of the president was very clear. He took the time to make a call to express his condolences, to thank the family for this individual's service. And I think it, frankly, is a disgrace of the media to try to portray an act of kindness like that and that gesture and to try to make it into something that it isn't.
Yeah, I don't really disagree with her on the issue that... I mean, the president is one of the hallmarks of Donald Trump. Even his most fervent supporters would tell you he's not really doesn't have a lot of empathy. He's not mm-hmm. good at faking sincerity. As a matter of fact, a lot of his most fervent supporters don't like the faking of sincerity. As a matter of fact, they like when the sincerity results in tough talk and straight talk and, well, you know, we got ours, you get yours and all that. You know, there's an appeal there for him, and he's not really good at those soft moments. He talks about what it is. And he may have easily, as a matter of fact, the White House isn't denying that he said, hey, he knew what he signed up for, but it's still tough, is what he is quoted as saying. Not something that most politicians would say, not something the most compassionate people would say to a grieving widow.
No.
On a condolence call, but, you know, if he did it, but he wasn't. That's not the malice piece. There's another interesting issue that happened here. With the $25,000 payment to another family, the president apparently promised over the summer, the father, he was talking to the father of a fallen serviceman who was killed in Afghanistan, and he promised him $25,000, and then that guy got the condolence letter from the White House, and there was no check in it, and so he complained about it. And the Washington Post called the White House last night for comment about why he didn't send the $25,000 he had promised to send.
Yep.
And now the White House has today mailed that $25,000 check to this guy. And it's a personal check from Donald Trump. It's not a government check. It's a personal check from Donald Trump to this family. All right. Now, that is interesting. That does show compassion. Why he chose to do that with this particular case is a little unclear. He might want to clarify that, as you know, maybe he just felt bad in the phone call and he wanted to do it, or he just wanted to help. Maybe there was a special need that he was addressing.
Yeah, potentially. I don't know. No one knows the answers to those questions. No one knows, but he did offer it, and I don't think anyone denies that he offered it. It just seemed like after he offered it. In fact, this family was so excited because he said, well, no president's done something like this. And that's what the president said. No president's done something like this, but I'm going to do it. And then the follow-up seemed to be a little bit slower than they thought.
Well, they didn't do it until the Washington Post called him and reminded him.
Phone call to remind him.
There's that. But it's weird. I'm not criticizing the president for giving a guy $25,000 or family $25,000 in need because he can do it. He's got the money. He's capable of doing it. It sets up an awkward circumstance because, you know, who's he going to give it to? Who's he not going to give it to? It's one of those things where he does things just off the cuff. And I'm sure that you know, people who are used to being in situations like this would have said to him, it's an interesting precedent. You want to do that every time? And you can. You could certainly afford it if you would like to do it. Mm-hmm. But then he will have to do it because otherwise he'll be seen as creating a preference of some sort. You know how this goes. Now, here's the president himself. Now, we're going back now to the initial story here, which is about what he said in the phone call to the grieving widow in Miami from the young man killed in Niger, the young soldier killed in Niger. Here is the president not backing down from the claim that he... did not say what the Democratic congresswoman who overheard the call said he said.
Didn't say what that congresswoman said. Didn't say it at all. She knows it. And she now is not saying it. I did not say what she said. And I'd like her to make the statement again because I did not say what she said. I had a very nice conversation with the woman, with the wife, who is sounded like a lovely woman. Did not say what the congresswoman said. And most people aren't too surprised to hear that.
The truth, Mr. President.
Let her make her statement again, and then you'll find out.
That you said this.
Okay, let her make her statement again, and then you'll find out.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
What is he going to do? The problem is it might have been recorded. That's the issue.
Recorded like, on whose end? Because the president is saying, I have proof, right, that I didn't say that.
Okay.
And then on the other end, you've got several family members because it was a call on speakerphone. We're sort of backing up the same story.
Right. Well, how likely was it somebody pulled out a video camera and videotaped or a cell phone camera?
Highly
and
likely.
Recorded that conversation on the listening end. Very likely, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, either way, I don't think the president is trying. I'm not quick to come to the defense of Donald Trump, but in this particular case, I don't know that it makes a ton
of
sense.
And the fact is it's coming from the congresswoman, a Democratic congresswoman, and not the widow herself has not spoken out directly.
Right.
And so let's let the family speak for this, and let's not make it political. I mean, the congresswoman, I'm not sure, has the best role in speaking out about
Correct.
This.
Correct. Now, I would also like the president not to make this political either.
Yes.
He did start this with Barack Obama, did we call anybody? Right, to do that whole thing. I mean, this is not politics. This is not scorekeeping.
Please.
This is not gotcha. This is one of the most solemn aspects of the president's job. And it's a horrifying thing to do. I cannot imagine. Imagine being the, you know, making that phone call.
No.
It's got to be tough.
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. It's about troops dying for our country. That's what it's about.
Right.
Pure and simple.
We're going to get to your three or two and your one. But first, Violetta's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.
They're Chicago. They're real. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, Larry Potash, and Robin Baumgarten get real in the morning with the WGN-TV morning news team. Weekdays 4 to 10.
All right, we continue on with the top 5 checking in at
number 3.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell addressed the ongoing national anthem controversy at the NFL owners meeting in New York today. He says players should please stand.
Just please help.
Just
we
should.
Have any more news conferences?
You don't. I mean, not must. You should. Really, be good if you would.
Everyone should stand for the national anthem. That's an important part of our policy. It's also an important part of our game that we all take great pride in. And it's also important for us to honor our flag and to our country. And we think our fans expect us to do that. What we try to do is deal with the underlying issue and understand what it is that they're protesting and try to address that matter. And so let me finish, if you can. So the important thing for us is to be able to do that and take that opportunity to make real differences in our community.
Roger Goodell also said we're looking to stay out of politics. How's that going? And then secondly, we have about a half a dozen players that are protesting. Are you talking per team? Or what do you... Half a dozen? Trying to minimize? I mean, you don't have half a dozen. You have more. And either you're going to use should language, you're going to use must language. Sounds like he's using should.
We should.
Should.
Should. He's not
it's
making
really
it a
clear,
rule.
Isn't it?
He's not making it a rule. That's the one thing we know for sure. It's not a rule. No. It's a suggestion. It's a, you know.
It's a nice
it's a nudge a certain way.
Right. You could be good if you do that. You could. Could you help us?
We're continuing to encourage them to stand.
Yeah.
Maybe just stand, guys.
Yeah.
Just
stand.
Might be a good idea.
That's their
Try
message
it.
To the players.
Right. Would it kill you to stand? Does it kill you? You know what I mean? Seriously, my wife's yelling at me now because she got in trouble for this now.
Exactly.
So, I just, you know, another. I'm just, you know.
If you could just stand, that'd be great.
You know, try standing.
Okay. It's like with feet on the ground. You know, kind of up and like standing there and maybe put your, you know, maybe you could hold on, use your right hand and hold on to your shoulder pads. Like, hold on to that chest part of the shoulder pad on the left side. Just hold on to that. If you could just do that, just, you know, pull that down a little bit. You know, just pull it down.
Yeah.
Just hold on. Could you do it? Just pull it down for a minute and 26 seconds. Thank you.
Sure. Because the NFL is so good at handling high-profile issues. Mm-hmm. They've done such a good job at that for the last couple
My wife's mad at me, guys.
Well, she jumped in that herself. She's trying to defend her husband on Twitter with the fake handle and got outed for it.
But, you know, she is the daughter of Sam Skinner.
She's a lovely person. I know her a little bit.
And she, you know, her dad was a, you know, was transportation secretary and, I mean, mm-hmm. you know.
Kind of a big
public
deal.
Servant, yeah. So, big deal.
And she's lovely and I can't really fault her. She's just trying to stick up for him, but it just was
She should use her own name, but it's a separate issue. All right, here we go. And at
number 2.
Hey, this is good news. The Bulls have suspended Bobby Portis for 8 games for punching Nikola Mirotic during an altercation that left the forward with facial fractures and a concussion. Fred Hoiberg acknowledged that both players' tempers escalated during the practice yesterday. You know, he's the coach.
Mm-hmm. He is.
We never thought it would escalate to the level of what happened. From that standpoint, I'm very disappointed in what happened. My job is to not let this moment derail us.
Okay.
My job is to get these guys prepared to go out and fight and play as a group.
Don't say
fight. I'm confident that our guys will do that.
Yeah, don't say fight.
Yeah, fight's a bad word, given the context.
What was Bobby Portis thinking? And now how do they have – they got to move Bobby Portis, but now he's not trade bait, right? Because he punched a guy.
Yeah, I mean,
Who's
going
to take him?
I don't think anybody this team is a complete mess from top to bottom, from management to the players. They're going to be one of the worst teams in basketball. Not an ideal way to start your season.
Wow. And eight games.
Put a teammate in the hospital.
Jeez.
Mirotić out 4 to 6 weeks, by the way, after signing a 2-year, $27 million deal.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is not good.
No.
This is not good.
No. No.
Oh, gee. I didn't see the... Was it a really terrible punch? I did not see the video.
Well, there's no video of it, is
no.
there?
Okay.
Well, I haven't seen any video. Apparently, yeah. It was a cheap shot, but...
And a concussion and facial fracture as a
yeah.
result.
Yeah.
That's
bad.
Broken jaw, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm, et cetera, et cetera. All right, and finally, we're going to get away from violence in sports.
Number one.
All right, so we played at number five. We played the Jeff Sessions today. Mm-hmm. He was up at the up in front of the Senate today, testificating.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, there was this one moment, which Ben Sasse, a Republican from Nebraska.
Yep.
Right, he was talking about. He followed up a heated exchange by declaring that he has had his own moments in his life, including one with, a rather famous senator.
There was some drama there. Sorry to have added to the drama and distracted you for a minute. I was paying enough attention there that I dumped a Dr. Pepper on Senator Cruz. So that's what was distracting us on this side of the dais.
Yes, he dropped it right in my lap, and it was all kind of cold and then sticky. And then my undergarments, they stuck to myself. And then I couldn't get them to move. And then when I was getting up and moving, they got all kind of squishy.
Oh, it's so
things
weird.
Things started moving around.
So weird. I mean, really.
And then it's cold, because then you know what happens when it's cold down there, and everything kind of gets, you know, like shrivel up.
Sounds like you enjoyed it, Senator Cruz. Do it again. Do it again.
Oh, Senator Sass. Oh, pour another cold drink in my lap. Because my groin is hot.
Oh.
It's too hot, Senator. Please cool it off. I'm having bad thoughts.
Gosh, things are so mature in Washington, aren't they? I'm going to dump my Dr. Pepper on you.
By the way,
watch out.
Nice plug for Dr. Pepper.
I just want to say that.
Yeah.
Senator Cruz is a pepper.
Yeah, it was
a
23 flavors.
Yeah. I love Dr. Pepper. You know, that's the best of the diets, too, the Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper diet?
Oh, it's bad. You cannot tell the difference.
Oh, the diet Dr. Peppers taste
yes.
exactly like the regular.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good for a diet, the Dr. Pepper.
Like,
no.
Is that something
no,
I missed?
The diet Dr. Pepper is the best tasting of all the most like everything else. Uh-huh. Coke Zero is pretty, or now Coke Zero Sugar is pretty good at that. But that's something.
All right.
Say it again. Pour it in my lap one more time.
Just don't let it dribble down your chin like your queso.
Pour that sugar on me, Ben Sasse. You're so tall and so pretty. Sometimes hurts me when I look in your eyes.
Someone should tell Ben Sasse he actually enjoyed it, and he'll stop. He's going to ask you to do it again.
All right. Can we just close this thing up?
I think
we can.
The top five at five.
It is the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeBlantis. Ro is getting out of his lederhosen at the moment. Oh, he's back. And the reason you're wearing lederhosen, we should probably explain, is because Hometown Voices, October 27th, we want you to come out, wear your lederhosen or your dirndl, your darndest dirndl, and come and join us for the Hometown Voices afternoon. It's going to be fun. How did the lederhosen work out, Ro?
Well, I had a little bit of a problem. I came in here afterwards. I went into the WGN bathroom, which is not sponsored by anybody yet, but it should be. I don't know why anybody does.
Maybe by Clorox or something.
Yeah, by somebody. Yeah.
Yeah. Bleach wipes,
scrubber bubbles,
or maybe you get a toilet paper sponsor. I think that'd be a nice thing.
Maybe
nice Charmin.
Company would like that. They save a little dough maybe on the toilet paper.
Exactly. Yeah. The Charmin WGN bathroom. Anyway, the point is, I went in there and I changed into the whole lederhosen and the shirt thing.
Mm-hmm.
the lederhosen, the pants, right?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm
the
assuming.
Overalls.
Yeah.
But the pants fit you. The overall part did not.
Yeah. I couldn't figure it out. It's like the, you know, like the, I'm not used to wearing like overalls. I'm not used to wearing like suspenders and stuff. So that was I didn't know what to do there. But it was all kind of sideways. And
it wasn't the right size, the top part.
Yeah, and the top part was not quite exactly my
No, you have a long torso. Go with that.
Yeah, exactly. So I had a,
so like the overalls, like they're not attached to the short part?
No,
like,
I think they are.
They are. The overalls are, yeah, they are. I just had it on.
You attach them.
I may have had it on backwards. I'm not quite sure.
How do you tell?
I couldn't tell because there's not really a fly there, which, by the way,
that's going to be a problem.
Explains why.
We're going to be chugging beer at this event.
I know. And I think that explains why the Germans were so aggressive in the early part of the 20th century.
Yeah.
It's because they had to go pee.
Yeah.
And it works for the girls with the dirndl having to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, no, the guys,
it's like a jumpsuit. You got to take the whole thing off, unfortunately.
Yeah,
well, apparently
it's like a little
do.
Boy jumpsuit. It is kind of cute.
Except
for the stockings.
Anna saw it.
I did.
It's quite a moment.
I can't unsee it, really.
Yeah, it's quite a moment.
It looked good on the hanger.
Yeah, it's okay.
It just, you had it all wonky in the front. It didn't fit right. You had like one of them attached to the suspenders and one just kind of dangling there. I couldn't tell if it fit.
I look like a guy in lederhosen that got lost on the west side. Is kind of what I look like.
Doing the walk of shame.
Right. Yeah.
You drank too much schnapps.
Right,
you
and all of a sudden I'm there morning. And I go, hello, my good man. Can you please show me to the nearest CTS stop? You know, it's kind of like that. And the next thing you know, it was like, you know.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
So I did look a little worse for wear there, but I think it's going to be fun. And again, that is coming your way a week. This is a good way of promoting it. Mm-hmm. A week from Friday at the Hofbrauhaus,
right? Rosemont, and October 27th is the date. We're gonna have the Sonnes Fanguli out there. We're gonna have the band, the Rosie and the Rivets, and they are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they look good in a dirndl.
They wear that retro stuff. It just works for
them.
Oh, gosh.
She's got the cat lady. They're like the sort of Batgirl or cat lady look or whatever you
feline.
Call it. Yeah, the feline thing going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Looks great.
So that's, I want to see her in a dirndl.
Will there be bratwurst?
Oh, sure.
And pretzels.
Cool. Yeah. Right, I'm in.
It's like a sausage fest out there.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And we're tapping a keg.
Yeah.
Keg stands and bratwurst.
And it's a big, like one of those big wooden kegs, though. It's like not... It's not like we can stand on the keg. It's like in a wall, and
it's
then
not
you're
like the keg I carried up my apartment stairs in college.
No.
Posted up for the weekend.
Nope. This is a different kind of keg.
Not a pony keg. This is a. Well, how big would this one be?
They're gigantic.
A barrel.
Yeah, it's a barrel, and then they're rolling it. We're going to roll up the barrel.
Oh, that's.
This
great.
Is your last.
Yeah, we are dancing to that song for sure.
Yeah, yes. This is your last Oktoberfest opportunity, right? Because Oktoberfest starts like the middle of September and then runs. Through October, and then that's it. That's it. So the Friday, the 27th, that's it. And then we're in full Halloween kind of moment. But although this is kind of, this will be me in this lederhosen is about as scary as anything anybody can wear for Halloween.
You could be zombie lederhosen guy for a later.
Just the way I looked at it when I'm walking out and I get it's all on sideways.
Yeah, you got to figure it out, Rose. It wasn't. It's not there yet.
No,
the look has not. It's not there yet.
I'm gonna get it locked down though.
Do we have the hats? They wear cool little hats?
With the
feathers? I got a cool little hat, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, you can have that.
You haven't tried yours on yet, Kev?
No.
Oh,
no.
You're the only member of the team.
I think I've been at the station once in the past 3 weeks. So I gotta make my way over there tomorrow.
You should have tried it on at Wrigley.
Yeah, just walked around Wrigley. So what do you guys think?
Yeah, does it work? Ask people. See what they say.
Take this, LA Dodgers, and your 0-3, your 3-0-ness.
That'll turn the series around.
Yeah. Whatever your name is.
I'm going to show up at the game tonight wearing this thing. I'll get on TV for sure.
Bro, I think you're going to get on TV.
They're
going to
say, what's the story behind this guy?
Yeah.
You got to go real, like, full character, though. Like, act like you don't even know the game of baseball. Like, completely lost.
Just have a big stein in your hand and a mustache.
Or no, one of those big horns, those Ricola horns.
They have one of those at the bar, at the restaurant.
I'm going to go walk in with that. Where is it? That is a soccer match. That's a football match. Do football. Yeah, and I get all like crazy with them. Yeah. See what happens. Yeah, it might be the only entertainment out on the field tonight. I'm not quite sure.
I hope not.
It's been a very rough.
It has. There has been a lot to cheer about in this particular series.
You know what I found out? Winning is the fun part.
Winning is the fun part.
And that's true.
I think Cub fans found that out last year, though.
Well, see, I thought it was just the Cubs atmosphere, but it was really the winning atmosphere that was fun.
Yeah, I mean, I've been going to Cubs games for about, well, a long time. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
And
childhood.
Childhood, and I mean, everybody remembers their first baseball game. Mm-hmm. You walk out, and we're sitting in the upper deck, and I look down, and the field was so green, right? The ivy was so green. It's such a visual experience for
it
a
is.
Kid, right?
And well, the sounds, I would argue, too, are just something you remember.
First time I was on a subway train, mm-hmm. was to go to the game, and it was like it was also everything was exciting.
Yeah. Oh, no question.
Were they blasting Kanye on the speakers here?
No.
Like they are right now for batting
dance
practice?
Party.
No.
No?
No.
Different? Just the organist?
Although, I got to say that the organist, though, I'm not a big... The sound baseball organ doesn't work for me. I actually prefer the DJ. Not this particular DJ, but a DJ.
You don't like the organ, huh?
I'm not a big fan of the organ.
Doesn't it make you all just nostalgic, though, and you think about...
No. No, that's no.
That does it for me. Although I would prefer a DJ just for today, but when I hear it, it just brings back the memories from the times you went when you were a kid.
I like Nancy Faust at Sox Park.
Excellent.
Because she had a sense of humor, and so you had to kind of read through the lines of what she was doing.
Oh, she was
Gary
quick.
Pressey will do that. If a guy has a long at bat, he'll play Staying Alive.
Yeah, but that's not funny. He's been doing it, what, like 30 years now or something, right?
Has he been there for 2400 consecutive game this season back in August.
Okay.
Yeah, you try doing that. That's hard to do. Gosh.
It's true. So 20 years he's been out there, 18 years, whatever it is. But she used to come up with it. She had like a sort of a sneaky sense of humor.
She did. And you try? I'd spend some of the game trying to figure it out. Like, oh, okay, here's what she did there.
Yes,
very fun.
This is, and I don't know. But the Cubs never had that sort of that sense of fun. Now, then they got a DJ who had a little too much fun, if you know what I mean, right?
Played a couple of songs that just didn't quite match the moment.
No, no.
Gotten some heat.
No,
Pressy's been doing it 31 years, by the way.
31 years.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Kevin, do you have any visual, can you tell us, do you have any visuals on Grandpa Rossi supposedly out there giving hugs to the Cubs players? So, pep talks, hugs from the Grandpa Rossi out there.
No, I have not seen him, but I am watching the Cubs take batting practice, and just like yesterday, pretty much everything is flying into the bleachers or off the video board because the wind is howling out of here again.
Could be a fun game.
They practice really good.
Good practicers.
Exactly.
Can they do that during the game?
Hey, wait a second. I want to jump in here for just a moment.
They're stealing your technique, Coach.
Coach Fox,
I like guys who practice real good. They don't have to play real well on Sunday, but as long as they practice real good, we're good.
Give them credit for that.
Who am I playing on Sunday?
That'd be the Carolina Panthers, Coach Fox.
Oh, they got that guy.
Yeah, Cam Newton.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah, oh boy.
But we're going to be good, too. So the Bears...
I don't know. He seems really good.
What about Mitch? You got to be excited about Mitch Trubisky,
who?
Coach Fox. He's the not red tall one.
Oh, right. Plays defense, right?
No. He's a quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got him. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Him.
All right.
Okay, Coach.
Good luck to me.
Good luck. You got any inspiring words for the Cubs tonight, Coach Fox?
Hit him high, hit him low, run to the left, run to the right. Hit him.
Well, that's great advice, actually. Hit him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hit him.
I think that's what...
Hit him, please.
No matter whatever the sport is, that's Coach Fox's advice.
3 yards in a cloud of dust, and yell a lot at the officials, and chew on your inner cheek. That's what I've been doing.
What was the equation Coach Fox taught us again? The something plus something equals outcome or...
Action! Plus reaction equals outcome.
Got it. Tell the Cubs that. Make sure they know that before they go into this very critical
game. That basically,
Kevin, pass that around.
Thank you, Newton. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Things in motion stay in motion?
Yeah, close enough. What?
MX1.
All right, here's Violetta Podomatic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
It's, you know, Oscar's allowed to wear sandals, but I'm not allowed to wear open-toed shoes. Is that how it goes?
Meredith, your boob is out.
Fine.
No.
Too far, Meredith. Too far.
Damn it, Meredith. Where are your panties?
It's casual day. Happy?
No.
So many great characters on The Office.
Yeah.
The American version of The Office. You know, if you're like a Netflix subscriber or really snooty, you have to say the American version of The Office and then look down on people who don't understand that it was originally.
Have you seen the British version?
Yes. You have to get all snooty about it. But the I'm not afraid to say that I like Budweiser and the American version of The Office better.
Good for you.
I am not afraid to say that.
Going out on a limb
there. There you go. Take that.
Yeah.
All right.
Try to challenge that one.
Kate Flannery is with us. She played Meredith. That was Meredith right there. She was a drunk. I've been playing a drunk on the radio for 30 years. I know all about this. I know about this character, and it was great because it is. It wasn't. You know, you weren't doing Foster Brooks. You were doing the way drunks really are, Meredith. You were doing the way, you know, the kind of confused and always kind of mad at everybody for just being whatever in their way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, it's a pleasure to talk
to you. True life, man.
True life.
How are you?
Very, very great. And for those who don't know, Kate Flannery, not from Chicago, but her career basically, you know, came to life here. Like so many other stories ended up coming to Chicago after college and started working, just like Steve Carell, started working at Second City and other places around town. And then, boom!
The Annoyance. Yeah, absolutely. I worked at Cafe Bob Ariba. Some of my best acting ever. I feel like I really want to be a waiter.
Love that place, though. You didn't have to act like you liked the food, though, because the food there.
So what is tapas?
It was delicious.
How many people from Columbus, Ohio asked you that question? What is tapas?
Right, as opposed to topless, which, yeah.
They were disappointed, some of the customers.
They misheard all the time. Everyone was disappointed, but that's okay.
The plate's so small. Why is the plate so small? All right, because it's a small plate right on the menu.
You're going to fill
that
up.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let us entertain you, everyone. Let us entertain you.
Yes, that's fine.
All the restaurants.
Yes. Yeah, that's fine. The family works for them. Don't worry. We're all good. Hey, here we go. Speaking of let us now talk about what you're going to be in town for coming up on November 1st at the Museum of Contemporary Art. This is a pretty cool idea. It's the IES Abroad Study Abroad Film Festival.
Yes, say that 10 times fast.
Yes, I don't understand why they're doing that twice. That's not a typo, right?
It's not a typo, no. No, I know. It's basically, they do these great programs for like 6,000 kids a year get to go abroad because of this organization, which is amazing. They get to do a semester abroad, which is insane. And they ask these kids when they get back to make a short film of their experience. So they actually are having a film contest. It's short films, and there are three finalists, and actually everybody gets to vote, meaning everybody that's listening or cares about kids and having an opportunity. I mean, I would just tell you, the internet is not a substitute for getting to another country. It just doesn't, you know.
It's not the same.
When you have your first bidet experience in France and you've really lived,
yeah,
you can't get that on the internet, right?
Yeah,
some of the European ones that don't have the toilet paper too. That's also an experience.
Right.
You just got to, you know. I don't know what you're really supposed to do.
Well, that's
there.
When you really need the bidet, right there. Quite honestly, I'm like, wow, this is both
have the bidet.
Disgusting and exciting all at the same time. I don't know what to do with it.
Did you study abroad or travel abroad a lot, Kate? Was that an experience?
I did travel. My grandmother left me a little money to all my brothers and sisters. We all got to go for like a couple, like 6 weeks. It was great. I mean, I learned a lot. If I would have learned even more if I stayed longer. So this IES abroad thing is it's a good way to go if you want to, you know, if you really want to spend some time over there and get a real chunk of something different and something to apply for the rest of your life, you know, something you can live with forever.
And the museum,
the
Museum of Contemporary Art is changing their venue a little bit there. I mean, they're making some changes, improvements, one might argue, but when you're a museum, you can never call them improvements. But they are in terms of the, you know, they're getting involved in the film world. They've changed where they're moving. They moved their restaurant downstairs, which is really cool. And they've got a theater, and they've got it's a great, great, great facility in Chicago, right there across from Water Tower Place, right across from the park.
That's right. And
Water Tower
used to be, yes. And my aunt was a docent there for years. My aunt, who actually gave me a ticket to check out Second City. She'd been in Chicago since like the early 60s. And she actually left. I lost her about 3 years ago, but she left a photograph of Nan Golden that she donated to the museum, and they actually had it up this summer. So it's so awesome for art. You know, I mean, just a great way to give back. She was awesome.
That's a nice story.
Fortunate. Yeah, and Chicago is such a great part of, you know, just me figuring out how to be who I eventually became and morphing into. I don't know. on a regular basis. But, you know, just the greatest audiences. I got to study with Del Close. I got to work at Second City and tour. And I worked at the Annoyance Theater and Ina's Kitchen, which is a big breakfast place. And, you know, just made the best friends ever. Like, for the rest of my life, yeah. I will always have my Chicago friends.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
The best. Del Close was an incredible mentor to so many people. I got to know him near the end of his life, and he was such a special guy. And then the story, that which is one of my favorite things about Del Close, is that the story ran for the better part of a decade that he had donated his skull to the theater community in Chicago to be used in Hamlet and other kinds of productions.
Perfect.
And
alas, poor Yorick. Yes.
Yes. But alas, the story is not true. But it was. But it's Del's.
Not true.
It's Del's greatest punk, and he punked a lot of people over the years. But it's Del's greatest punk forever now, people are going to go, is that a real skull? Would you see one on a stage in Chicago?
Yeah. Ina Pinkney, by the way, also a very nice person, even though Ina's is no longer there.
Yeah, for years. Yeah, she just retired, I think, 2 years ago. Yeah, yes. She was the greatest. I hustled. I used to wait on Roger Ebert. I mean, there's so many, like Studs Terkel, so many local Chicago fantastic celebrities.
Let me ask you a question about Studs Terkel. I imagine he's a guy sending stuff back. I don't know. I imagine he's like the friend of the working man.
Satisfied.
But I would say that Studs was a tough SOB when it came to restaurants and waitresses.
Kind of hard on the working man in real life.
Yeah, I think he kind of was.
He never tried to pinch me or anything, you know.
No, I'm not going there. I'm just like, this isn't right.
We're not talking about that. Sorry.
Yeah, no, this is cold.
It's top of mind, though. I can understand that, Kate.
God. Oh, my God. Imagine
you too?
Oh, man. All right. We'll talk to you in studio when you're here for this, I understand. So that'll be...
I would love that. Absolutely. And everybody can go on the website and vote. And there's three videos. I mean, they're short films. They're under five. And there's only three of them. And, you know, everybody, you could probably sneak this while you're working and kill 15 minutes, right? Watching three shorts and then both.
Right.
IESabroad.org is where you go to get tickets for the event. And actually, I will be hosting November 1st, and I will probably take a selfie if you buy me a free drink. It's going to be great. It's going to be a good night.
Sounds awesome.
And you know what happens when she drinks? Her boob falls out of her dress.
Oh my God, that was so
Harvey Weinstein of me. Oh my God.
Too soon.
All right. IESabroad.org. IESabroad.org. All right. Kate, we will see you when you're here. Thank you so much for being with us.
I love WGN. I love you guys. Thank you.
Thanks,
Kate. All right.
See you soon.
All right. We will. Woo!
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago, 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Yeah, Blackhawks. All right, it's Blackhawks Pick'em in advance of the Chicago Blackhawks taking on tonight the... who is it tonight? Blues. Wait, that's right. They're in St. Louis tonight. What am I doing?
You gotta keep your game straight.
I'm so confused because I keep thinking it's tomorrow night. I'll be at that game tomorrow night, by the way, in case anybody, no matter what happens with the Cubs, because I'm out of my mind now. I don't know what to do.
You're going to the Cubs tonight, Hawks tomorrow.
Yeah, because that's Mr. Nice Sports. Lineup. All right. We're playing Blackhawks Pick'em, and the winner of Blackhawks Pick'em, by the way, rips us off. Rips us off for a really great prize.
I thought it was pizza.
It is. $50 on Lou Malnati's Pizza.
Nice.
LouToGo.com. I had that last night, as a matter of fact.
Oh, love
that. Oh, yeah. I got the one with the green pepper and the onion and the mushroom.
Green pepper, onion, and anything kind of go well on pizza. That's kind of a nice base right there.
All right, Steve, prepare yourself to win $50 worth of Lou's Pizza right here, Lou Malnati's Pizza. Steve, who are you taking?
I'll take Saad, Kane, and Keith.
Saad, Kane, and Keith.
Nice picks.
Oh, yeah. That's
hard to beat.
That's good. Yeah. All right. You hold on 1 second here. Hold on. Good luck to you. You're not going to need it.
All right. Hold on.
Saad is the guy.
I know.
That's
Saad.
The guy.
All right.
Judy, who are you taking?
I'm going to go with Murphy, Hartman, and Seabrook.
Okay. Saves.
Saves. And I'm going with Jonathan Taves,
our
captain.
Hold on 1 second. I think we got, hold on.
Oh, sorry.
I think we got Violetta first.
Oh, then she might take that.
Who did Judy go with?
Don't ask. Violetta, who do you like?
I mean, I guess I'll take Taze just because, you know, make it interesting. Taze, Panic, and Wingles.
Oh, you took, Panic and the Wingles.
And the Wingles. He's one of my favorites.
All right. Who do you like?
Sharp. Yeah. I got, gosh, Debrinkat, I'm going to go with.
The Cat, Catster.
Jan Ruda.
Oh, yeah. That's my guy.
I know, that's your guy. Sorry. Okay. We're stealing guys from each other in this round.
I'm taking Anisimov.
Mm. All right.
I am taking Forsling.
All right.
And I am taking John Hayden.
Okay.
All right.
It's all strong. Isn't it amazing how many great players there are that we all have a chance?
I would normally take. I got to give, because I said I was going to take Schmaltz yesterday because he's playing again tonight. Unless, Kevin, do you want him?
Yeah, I did want Schmaltz.
Steal take Schmaltz. Schmaltz.
Everyone wants Schmaltz.
Yeah.
Schmaltzer.
And so am I up?
So you're, yes.
Schmaltz, Boma, and I'll go.
You only have Michael Kempney left. So you can take him.
Michael Kempney.
Here.
All right, there you go. There's your Blackhawks pick'em right there. That's how that game's played. It's really simple.
Went very smoothly this time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cutthroat this time. Stealing players.
I know. There was a bunch of steals.
It's got ugly a little bit. Let's just see what happens next.
Boy, they are fun to watch, though, this year.
Oh, yeah.
They are a ton of fun. And for those who are going to be watching on the NBCSN, you're going to hear the great Eddie Olczyk call the game tonight. So he is in St.
Nice.
Louis for this.
Nice, your Eddie O.
Yep. We had him on the program yesterday.
Know.
You can go to WGNradio.com for the podcast of that as he is battling successfully colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty amazing thing.
I heard him say that when he's calling the games, he just feels great. So we'll be rooting for you.
So this is this will be his first time back in the booth here, and it's going to be something special tonight.
Yeah, well.
Right?
It's good to see him back.
Kevin, final thoughts from Wrigley?
I keep trying to convince myself they're going to win tonight, but I don't think they're going to win.
All right. There you go. That's the final thought. That's as good as that gets right there.